Indeed, Lord, thou art the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you were willing to lay your life down for us. We thank you, Lord. Indeed, Lord, you showed no resistance, Lord, even as we heard, Lord, the light read this morning, you've brought to us a lamb to the slaughter of sheep before his ears is done. So he opened up not his mouth. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that thou art indeed the Lamb of God. Lord Jesus, we accept you as the only sacrifice and the perfect sacrifice. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray this evening, Lord, that you would bless each one that's here tonight. Lord, there might be many of us here, but Lord God, for what's here, bless us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know, Lord, that when we get on the other side, there's going to be a mighty congregation. Lord, there's a little hymn that says, what singing there will be. Lord, we know, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you will have gathered all from all the ages onto yourself, Lord, that there's going to be a mighty chorus there. Lord, we know, Lord God, there'll be plenty of worship and plenty of praise for, Lord, through people throughout all the ages will sing and rejoice at thy presence for thy redemption power and for thy precious blood and for your grace, Lord, you give us to live our lives. Lord Jesus, we just pray now, Lord Jesus, that you will help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And bless the pastor as he comes and opens up thy word tonight. Lord, we just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that no one amongst us will ever be dismayed. Lord God, we'll be strong in our God and do exploits in your precious name.
Yes.
Lord, help us, Lord, to be faithful witnesses for you. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that you'll grant unto us fruit. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll add to us here in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask, Lord, for help within the church, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that there'll be more people will come in, Lord. Lord, soon. Lord, we can play instruments, Lord, and help us, Lord, to praise and worship. Lord, more people, Lord, you can help us sing, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, to be, Lord, loving one another, Lord, to help one another in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Lord, even as your word says, Lord, to share one another's burdens. Lord Jesus, we need your help, Lord Jesus. And Lord, no man can do these things alone. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us. And Lord, add to us, Lord, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, there's people out there who's not yet saved, that's going to be saved. We pray, Lord Jesus, you'll bring them in. We pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for the members of the family that's not saved. We pray you'll save them. Lord, we pray for the backsliders that's gone astray. We pray you'll restore them unto yourself in Jesus Christ. Can we pray? Lord, I pray, Lord God, even for the children that's grown up in our midst, that your hand be upon them, Lord, and that you'll make them skillful in musical instruments, Lord, and also,
yes,
Lord, Jesus. Lord, help them, Lord, in the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, that they'll seek thee, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost from a young age. We pray, Lord God, that it'll be something they know, Lord, they ought to have in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll give them a desire, Lord, to draw closer to you, and Lord, not to be content with their parents' experience, but Lord, that they would know another's hand and have a desire to have their own experience with you, that they would meet the Lord personally and afresh with you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask you now, Lord, that indeed you'll help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth, and we ask these blessings in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can you sing that on the floor?
I am.
you can sing them off the piano. Warwick says, sing them without some music. But I think they really need a wee bit of music to help the church. Let us sing that hymn again. How I love to proclaim it. Again, I love it. You know, some people maybe are a bit skeptical about singing Christmas carols. I'm not any. Some of the Christmas carols probably do enjoy them. And I do think we should talk about the Lord's birth. You know, because it was certainly a wonderful.
They were good, weren't they?
Amen.
They really were good, praise God. And I believe it's good to sing about the Lord's birth.
Amen.
And the super sang. Because they seen a star.
Amen.
And they followed it. And it brought them to the Savior. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you, brother. Praise God. Let's read Psalms 104, verse 32. Praise the Lord. And we're thinking about God with us.
Yeah.
God with us. Praise God. Psalms 104, verse 32. And you know, this is a powerful miracle before us here. Our Lord was incarnate in a body which was truly a human body, but yet in some wondrous way, deity.
Yeah.
Psalms 104, verse 32. He looketh on the earth and it trembleth. He touches the hills. And they smoke.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word tonight. We thank you that your word will not return void.
Amen.
But to accomplish the thing you send it to do. And prosper therein. Lord, bless your word to our hearts, we pray. Bless each and every one that's here tonight. Lord, if there's any that had to work or couldn't be here, bless them. Strengthen them, be with them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. We thank you even for, Lord, the one that was prayed for this morning, you touched.
Amen.
And we give you all the praise and all the glory. We pray tonight you'll continue to bless and strengthen your people. Help us with your word. Help us to preach it with absolute clarity.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name, bind every work of the devil. And Lord, we again thank you for this time, for the birth, for the burial, for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you're seated tonight at the right hand of the majesty on high, and you ever liveth to make intercession for your saints. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me now. And I thank you, do, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Pray, Lord, bless our sister Rita that's come amongst us. Pray you'll give her strength, give her grace. Lord, just be with her in a special way.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, for those, this young one that Matthew mentioned in the accident, let your hand be continued upon them and heal them.
Hallelujah.
And raise them up in the name of the Lord. Pray again for young Timothy, you'll strengthen them.
Hallelujah.
Pray you will speak to them. We pray you'll break the spirit of fear.
Amen.
And you'll give them the spirit of truth. And oh God, you'll touch them. And
hallelujah.
Lord, for any others that's not here tonight, that need your touch, we pray your touch upon them.
Jesus.
In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. The Old Testament saints said, no man can look on God's face and live. But yet, he became a man. God with us. Hebrews 10 verse 5 says this, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. God prepared a body, and God came to that body, and God dwelt in that body. When he said, tear this temple down, and in 3 days I'll raise it again, he's talking about himself. And they said, we've been 50 years building it, how will he raise it after 3 days? And yet he was speaking of his own self. God prepared a body, and God came to that body. And God came to that body so that it could be God with us. No more God above us in a pillar of fire, or God before us in a cloud, but God actually with us.
Amen.
Now we know the day that it's God in us. Because after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, God came down and came in his people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it was God above us, God with us, and God in us. And here this is a wonderful phrase from Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. The veil God came down, veiled in flesh to what? To show himself. He had to hide because we couldn't see him. And he hid the veil. And the veil was who? Jesus. Not me that doth the works, my Father, Jesus said. My Father doth in me, I work. The Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto. Here he is as the veiled one. Walking in the flesh, God Emmanuel, God with us. God was in Christ concealing the world to himself. Here he is walking around, but yet God. But yet he's veiled. That's a mystery. Paul said it's a mystery. Paul says, I show you a mystery. The mystery is that when you look at Jesus, you're seeing a man, but yet God's veiled in that man. That's why when Philip said, show us the Father and sufficeth, he said, if I've been with you so long, Philip, and do you not know me? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. For I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. It's a mystery. One man said, when you've it all figured out, you've missed it. It's such a mystery. You know, I sort of like what Joseph Smith said. The real Joseph Smith will continue to call him. Not the false one. The Pentecostal Joseph Smith. He said, you know, it's like the water. When the water's in the kettle, it's water. When you boil it, it goes up in the air and it's steam, but it's still water. You take it and you pour it into a wee frame, shaped like a man, put it in the freezer and freeze it, and you have a nice man, but it's still water. And you have the Father, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have the Son, but it's still the same one God. One God and three offices, but one God. Not three gods, one God. And that one God was in his Son. And that's why his Son is the God-man, God with us. What a mighty miracle. A really divine power was wonderful seen in the continued existence of the materialism of Christ's body, which else had been consumed. But such a wondrous contact with divinity, admire the power which dwelt in God with us. Admire the power. The power that was in him. He could speak to creation and obey him. Peace be still in the storm seas.
Amen.
A man dead for 4 days, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he commanded the grave. Says, I have the power and the words of eternal life. Isaiah 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. People try to break it down and they try to take Jesus as a baby and try to explain why he became God. He was always God. You can't work like that. Then other people took the scriptures. He was born a certain date. So they tried to work out when he began. Well, that's wrong as well.
Amen.
And you're going to see that. But the word of God destroys that idea. The physical part, yes, you could say that. But Jesus was in the bosom of the Father.
Amen.
From the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Without father, without mother, without asset, without descent. That's Almighty God, isn't it?
Amen.
Oh, he's wonderful. The person of the Son of God, it is crucial to remember that the existence of the Son of God did not commence with his birth in Bethlehem. That's not when his existence commenced. Many people preach, that's when it commenced. Many people put dates on Jesus. You can't.
Amen.
That's a big mistake to do it now, the end time too. They put dates when he came. They put dates when the rapture started. They put dates when he came. Dates when it was finished. All that's wrong. All of it.
Amen.
You can't do it.
Amen.
Because it'll not match scripture. Once you put a date when he's coming, he doesn't come, what do you do with your date? You can't work with God. And you can't put dates. When he started, here we are, listen to these scriptures tonight. He has spoken off with the Son before he became a man. Listen to me, Galatians 4 verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. He pre-existed before he came here. He pre-existed. Ever before he came here, he's speaking about him before he came. You say, where's that? Jesus says that I may be glorified with the glory I had with thee before the world began. He was with the Father from the beginning. All things are made by him and for him, without him is not anything made that's made. He is the beginning of the creation of God. That's why he's greater than a man. Far beyond any human is the Lord Jesus, and yet he became human. Micah 5 verse 2, this is some verse. But thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's the Lord.
Amen.
That's the Lord Micah's prophesying about. His goings from of old. Oh, praise his name. John 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The same being in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that's made. Verse 14, what's it say? And he became flesh.
Yes.
That's the Lord. Pre-existed ever before he was here as a man. This God with us is something I'm telling you. Jesus is absolutely, there's nobody else like him. You see, you ever see any of them things on some of them apps and sites, and somehow a Muslim gets up and he starts off and he tries to say, are you a son of God? And of course the person says yes. Then he tries to make, well, Jesus is the son of God, I know that. And then he goes into all his blasphemies. And he makes Jesus just like you and me. Well, I'm sorry, he's more than that. He's the God man. He's more than just you and me. And he's more than any prophet or priest as well. And he was all that. Prophet, and you remember what Brother Branham said, he come in three sons' name. Son of man, son of God, son of David. And he's all that. I tell you, he's wonderful. Even before he was born of the Virgin Mary, he appeared to men in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. He appeared to people as the angel of the Lord. You'll hear William Branham saying, the angel of the covenant is here tonight in this room. None other than the Lord Jesus, he says. Christ himself. The angel of the covenant. The angel of the Lord. It is clear that this angel is not an ordinary angel, because he's identified as God. He pardoned sin and he's worshipped. You can't do that with an ordinary angel. But there is angels in the Bible that men worshipped, and there's angels in the Bible that pardoned sin, and that is Christ. Back when he was right back there with the Father. Listen to this tonight. I'm trying to explain this to you. Let us go to Exodus 3, verse 1 to 4. And Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush and said, Moses, and he said, here I am. I tell you, Moses met with God. He met with God. And if you read chapter 23 of Exodus, verse 20 to 21, behold, I send an angel before thee. In Exodus 23, verse 20 to 21, to keep thee in the way. Who do you think keeps us? Do you think you kept yourself this week? You didn't. You couldn't keep yourself for a moment. It's the Lord that keeps you. And it's the Lord that preserves you. And to bring thee into the place which I have prepared before me, before him. And obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon their transgressions, for my name is in him.
Amen.
And only the Lord can pardon. We can see him in the Old Testament. I tell you, there's a book of C.H. Spurgeon's, and it's called Christ in the Old Testament. And it's some book. And it brings Christ out all through the Old Testament. It's a wonderful book to have and read and study because it brings you to this Bible and it makes this Old Testament wonderfully come out, the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I believe this is the incarnate Christ. That's what I believe. In Joshua 5, verse 13 and 15, here's what it said. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Verse 14, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord I am come. And said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. He was deprived of somebody divine. You know an angel from the Lord won't receive worship. You know that. Neither will a prophet. Because when you go into the book of Revelations, when John saw one, and he said he was after his fellow servants of prophets, and he fell down to worship him. That one that he fell down to worship, which the Bible says was after his fellow servants of prophets, said, do it not.
Right.
You're only allowed to worship the Lamb.
Amen.
Don't worship no prophet.
Amen.
No matter how good a prophet, don't worship him. Only worship the Lamb.
Amen.
And you can't worship an angel either, but there is the angel of the Lord, which is Christ. We can see this in the pre-incarnate Christ because the works are the same. He can forgive sins. Only the Lord can do that. Amen. While Christ was pre-existent and appeared occasionally to man in the Old Testament, he took on a body permanently when he was conceived in the Mary's womb. This incorporeal event of God becoming man in Jesus Christ is called the incarnation. That's what it's called. This miracle was prophesied hundreds of years previously. God, through his prophets and through his word, foretold that Christ would come. He foretold the supernatural birth, the virgin birth. Behold, as William did. Look, William Branham was preaching once and he says, God's word needs no interpretation. What's he quote? A virgin shall conceive. And he quotes it and needs no interpretation because when the time came, God done it. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Hundreds of years before it. In John 16, verse 27, hear these words. For the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and I'm come into the world. I came forth from the Father and I'm come into the world. So he was with the Father before he came into the world.
Amen.
Even before he was born of the Virgin Mary, he was with the Father. And I'll come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, secondly, what is this God with us? I want you to see this closely tonight. What is this God with us? No time to do this subject justice. This glorious word Emmanuel means first that God is in Christ. He is with us in a very near way. This word with means actually together, sharing. The Lord is actually together with us. The Lord is sharing with us. Does the Word of God say, after the resurrection, time, what did he say? I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will be with you always. After the crucifixion, we're now in the time spot. We're now in the dispensation of the day of grace. When the Lord says, I'll never leave you, he's actually showing with us. He's actually with us. The word of God said, closer than the breath we breathe. In him we live and move and have our being. He's with us. Amen. The devil wants you not to think God's with you. The devil wants you to think the Lord's not. That's one of the secrets of paralyzing a Christian. One of the things is that you'll doubt God, that you'll doubt he's with you, that you'll doubt who you really are. You're a son and a daughter of God. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You're not your own. You belong to the Lord. You're the Lord's.
Amen.
Ain't that great?
Amen.
Did you ever own someone that you didn't love? And cherish it? Doesn't the Bible speak about that in a parable, like the wife and the husband and so forth? And if you love your own flesh, will you not love your wife? And then it's a parallel to Christ and his bride. He loved his bride and he gave himself for her.
Amen.
Her being the weaker vessel. And I tell you, we were weak without him, but in him I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me.
Amen.
Philippians tells us that.
Amen.
God is particularly and closely with us. Now think on, think. God has come very near to us in a very association. He must have done so, for he has taken upon him our nature, literally our nature, flesh and blood, bone, everything that was made a body. Christ Jesus is the God-man. God was with us in life's pilgrimage, with us in the step of life. Christ knows it all. And look at this. Look at this for a moment tonight, what I put here. From the cradle, he was there. For he was born in a manger. So he knows our downs and our settings. I mentioned it Wednesday. Were you a child under parental authority? So was Christ. He knows all about it. Christ also was a boy in the home of Nazareth. And the Bible says he grew in stature and in wisdom. The Bible says it. Now why? So that he could feel everything about you and me. Because he's went through it. Have you entered upon a battle? Your Lord and Master did the same. He entered upon many a battle. So he knows what it is to be in a battle. Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus has went through it all. If you've ever had the loss of a loved one, Christ did, Lazarus, and the Bible says he wept at Lazarus' grave. He went through all these things. Notice, like all this brethren, how wonderful the fact that our Lord, God with us, not just here and there now and again, but forevermore.
Amen.
He's not just with you at church, he's with you every day.
Amen.
Look, the song tells, and it's a wonderful song, and lots of us even have the plaque of it. And it's where the person thought the Lord had left them. And they looked back when they were having a difficult time and they saw one set of footprints in the sand. And they thought that was when the Lord left them, but the Lord said, no, that was when I carried you. I bore, the Bible says he beareth us up on his shoulders, and he carries us. And many a time we felt like falling, we felt we couldn't go on, but because the Lord was with us, God with us, we went on. Thank God he never leaves us. Like another's brethren, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5, write it down in your Bible, mark it this evening. That's a verse for you, that's a word from the Lord for you. When the enemy gives you a tough time, when he tries to tell you the Lord's not with you, the Lord is saying to you, I'm with you, and I'll never leave you. Thank God for it. God with us. He can feel your sorrow of poverty. For he says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He He knows all about it.
Amen.
Nowhere to lay his head. Do you endure grief for bereavement, Jesus, wept at the tomb of Lazarus? Have you been slandered for righteous sake? And has it vexed your spirit? He said, reproach have broken mine heart. That was to the Lord. They reproached him. They said of Jesus, look at him. He's went down to the house of sinners. Imagine him going down there. Anybody ever said that day? Imagine he's going in there. He went to the tax collector's house. They called Jesus a wine drinker, a glutton, all sorts of names. They called the Lord. But yet he's a king of all glory.
Amen.
He's God with us.
Glory.
Now if he, had reproach, we're going to have reproach. But the Lord's still with us.
Glory.
Have you been betrayed? Don't forget, Christ was betrayed. Betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Maybe some of us have been betrayed or felt betrayed, but Jesus already went through it.
Amen.
So because he went through it and he's with us, we can go through it.
Glory.
And what stormy seas have you been tossed, which have not also roared around his boat? The Lord's been on the stormiest seas. You think that some of them ships, we read the Bible, I don't think all of us don't fully comprehend it. Think of the boat Jesus went on. It was nothing like these boats they had today with power engines and all that stuff. These things were sails or oars, that's it. And they went across and the storm came. The storm could have wiped that thing out like matchsticks. What's a boat till God? Look at the Titanic. Claimed it couldn't be sunk, but it sunk. And you read how big it was and how massive the engines were, and it still sunk. And Jesus was on the storm, and the disciples feared for their lives. And Jesus stood up and rebuked the winds and the waves and said, peace be still. Like I often say, it's like talking to an old dog, lie down.
Amen.
And they just stopped.
Amen.
Nothing as bad as an old dog barking all night, sure there's not. You had to get up and say, lie down. You wouldn't go up and say, could you lie down? You wouldn't do that. You would talk with the command of authority, Barbara Woodhouse special. Sit. She was great, wasn't she? I'll tell you, they did what she said. She had an authority. And the Bible says Jesus spoke with one having authority. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Joshua 1 verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest, the Lord's with you.
Amen.
Anywhere you go, the Lord's with you. Jesus Christ felt and he suffered. Luke 23 verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. You know what the interpretation says? He dismissed the spirit. Something no man can do, by the way. Why did he get this now for a moment? What Jesus done on the cross, people say, lots of people died on the cross. They did, but they couldn't do what Jesus done. None of them could do what he said. There's two things here they couldn't do. He said, number one, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again.
Amen.
Number two, he dismissed his spirit. He gave up the ghost. He's done it.
Amen.
Nobody took his life. He freely gave it.
Amen.
None of us could do that. But he done it.
Amen.
I tell you, there's nobody like the Lord.
Amen.
Christ Jesus tasted death for me. Christ, not on the cross only. He not only, he's not in the tomb. He indeed is risen from the grave. He's alive.
Amen.
He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. We don't need a wee image of a picture of a man hanging on a cross to worship it.
Amen.
The Savior we worship's living.
Glory.
He's not on the cross.
Glory.
Amen.
We don't need plaques here and there. Of some sort of a ritual. We have a real living sacrifice.
Amen.
And not only that, though, I'll tell you what else he could do that nobody else could do. When the blood cell broke, Jesus' blood broke, the life of God could come back in every believer. Nobody else could do that. No other man. Any other man can die. That's it. The blood's gone. But when Jesus Christ died, his blood never congealed, his blood never dried up, his blood never wasted, because it's not Jewish blood, it's not Gentile blood, it was the supernatural blood of Almighty God.
Amen.
And the life for the spirits of that blood in Romans says, and the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken, that means make alive your mortal body. We are made alive by the Spirit of God.
Glory.
It's the Holy Spirit that makes us alive.
Amen.
Right. It is in Ephesians 6, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, now have been quickened. What else? Quickened together in Christ Jesus. Heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're living today.
Amen.
We're the real saints.
Right.
A saint's not somebody that you need and pray in a wee picture somewhere. A saint's the living, believing Christians. Those that are born again in the Spirit of God, that's faith. Now some saints have gone on, there's no doubt about that. But there's living saints. And we can't pray to the saints that's went on either. Jesus Christ, the only one we want to be praying to. What's the difference in that and Catholicism, priestcraft, if we pray to another? It's equally as false. Look at John 14. Verse 19, yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. We have life today, eternal life, because of what Christ accomplished at the cross. God with us. God in Christ is with us in the nearest possible association. God in Christ is with us in the fullness of reconciliation. There is no such, there is so true. In our lives, when we parted from God, you can't be parted from God if you're born again.
Amen.
Do you realize that? You know, when you study about hell and hear great preachers preaching about hell, the one thing they all tell you, you know what makes the worst of it? It's when a man dies without Christ, he's parted from God. That's the worst part of it. Because when you're parted from God, there's no life. But when you're really born again, you have life.
Amen.
Because of the Lord.
Amen.
Ephesians 2 verse 2 to 5 says, where in times past you walked according to the courts of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom all we also had our conversation in times past, and the lust of our flesh, filling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, but God. Why did he get this? But God.
Glory.
Who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sin.
Amen.
Dead.
Amen.
Have quickened us together with Christ by grace through faith. Are you saved?
Amen.
No other way.
Right.
Absolutely through the grace of God.
Amen.
I would say it. Every single man and woman needs to repent and come to Christ Jesus. This is God's one and only provided way. There's no other way, only Jesus Christ. God with us. In Christ alone we're saved. By faith alone, in Christ alone is salvation.
Amen.
It's not faith in Christ plus.
Nope.
It's not your works plus. It's Christ alone.
Amen.
By faith alone, in Christ alone we're saved.
Right.
No other way. God's no other plan. There's no other plan. This is God's plan. This is God's gospel. And it's an everlasting gospel. Let me read you this quote from C.H. Spurgeon. We were parted from God. We were without God, being alienated from him by wicked works, and God also was removed from us by reason of the natural rectitude of character which thrusts iniquity far from him. He is of pure eyes that they behold iniquity. Neither can evil dwell with him. That strict justice with which he rules the world requires that he should hide his face from a sinful generation. A God who looks with complacency upon guilty men is not the God of the Bible. Who in multitudes of places set forth a burning with indignation against the wicked. You see, if it hadn't been for the Lord Jesus, we're all finished.
Right.
But thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Son of God. Thank God for God with us. Psalms 11 verse 5 said, "The Lord tried the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul healeth." God's against the wicked. All these things they're doing in the world today, God's against it. But now the sin which separates us from God has been put away by the blessed sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, and the righteous, the absence of which must have caused a gulf between the unrighteous man and the righteous God. And there was a gulf fixed, but Christ found it. That righteous, I say, has been found, for Jesus has brought in everlasting righteousness. The gulf's been spanned, there's a way, but it's to the whosoever will. God won't force nobody. God's given man a free choice. And the gospel's preached and it's to the whosoever will. It excludes nobody and includes everybody.
Amen.
Psalms 103 verse 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting.
Amen.
Upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children." Through Christ alone we can have this righteousness freely given. And I have to go to Romans 4. Let's go to it. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Verse 6. "Even as David also describing the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." The word imputeth means here, have it. God gives it. God gives you his righteousness. Now remember, the righteousness of Jesus Christ exceeded the scribes and the Pharisees. Ours couldn't. Jesus said that. "Except your righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, no man will enter in." But Christ exceeded it. And we've none of our own that we can present to God. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we can freely take it. But he gives it to us. The word impute means here, have it. Take it. Verse 7. Saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Come of this righteousness then on the circumcision only, upon the uncircumcision also, for we say that faith was reckoned Abraham for righteousness. Verse 10. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in an uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Verse 11, "And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had yet been circumcised, for he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised." That the righteous might be imputed unto them also. So it's not just because they were the right tribe and the right people and had the sign of circumcision. Remember, it was a sign. And the father of circumcision, verse 13, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith."
Amen.
Somebody said to me, "Was there faith before law?" Absolutely, Abraham. Look, grace and truth was before law. How many remembers when a brother John McFadden preached a great message in that here? And he showed us that. Anybody remember? Amen. "And the Lord good," verse 14. "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. And the promise made of none effect," verse 16. "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is of the law, but that also which is of faith, Abraham, who is the father of us all." We are the royal seed of Abraham. Not because we try to get a book and try to search back our family trees. No, that's not it. You might be able to do that. I don't know. But I'm not working like that. I'm working that on the day I was saved by the grace of God, I am off that royal seat by faith.
Right.
That's what I am.
Amen.
And you're off that royal seat as well.
Amen.
You're the royal seat. That means all the blessings that God pronounced on the seed of Abraham's yours. All the blessings.
Amen.
We need to consider who we are for a moment as we close. We're nobodies of our own, but we're everything in the Lord. He's paid for us. He's bought us. God with us. The Lord is in us today. The Lord will never leave us. The Lord will never forsake us. God won't let you down like somebody lets you down. He'll never let you down. He'll always be there. His ear is ever open to your cry. His arm's not short and his ear's not heavy. God doesn't need a hearing aid, and he doesn't need an arm extension. God can hear, God can reach, and God can deliver. And he can heal as well. He's a Savior, he's a healer, he's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and he's a soon coming King. We know we could say we saw the appearing of the Lord. We could say that. But we are looking for the second coming of the Lord.
Amen.
How many's looking for the Lord's coming?
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ could come at any time. I want you to remember as we go for Christmas, remember the Lord. All we have. Think of it. When you open them presents, I was going to preach it and I hadn't. I prepared this and then I thought of another message. I didn't. Too much. God's wrap gift. Jesus Christ was God's wrap gift. The best gift this world could ever have was that little babe wrapped in a manger. God's wrap gift. That's the best gift. Little Jehovah lying in a manger. God with us. Let's stand our feet tonight. God bless each one. Just to say, we have no service again until Sunday. We'll be eating on Wednesday. Opening the presents.
Glory.
Isn't it great to get a present?
Amen.
Nobody likes Christmas till they get the present. Then they love it. It's not right.
Amen.
There's nobody worse than me. I love it. And I tell you, think of it, think of this. When we were away from God in sin, some of us, maybe not as deep as others, but yet equally sinners. God in his mercy opened our eyes.
Amen.
And we received the greatest gift we could ever have, God's wrap gift, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't forget, next Sunday, then the Tuesday after it, we're going to have Tuesday night instead of the Wednesday for singing and worshiping and testifying, shouting and dancing.
Amen.
I'm thinking of trying to get somebody to come with a special word of testimony as well, but there's plenty of time. There's going to be no time. If you want to go the whole night, I'll not be. Unless I've been led to do it. But who knows what God can do?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wrap gift. The greatest gift that this world's ever seen or ever could have. The lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Lord, we're glad you've saved us this evening.
Amen.
Father, we would earnestly pray if there's one tonight here or listening in that doesn't know you as their Savior, may the great Holy Spirit bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth, and may they have the greatest Christmas present ever, the grace of Christ and the born-again experience, in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, you said, for it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Lord, we're glad for the simplicity that's in Christ tonight, and yet the depth of the love of God is far beyond our comprehension. Lord, bless every brother and every sister and every boy and every girl in this room tonight over this time of refreshment. We ask also for those that couldn't be here this evening, every brother and every sister, that you bless them. Pray especially for the sisters as nurses at this time that have to work and busy, Lord. I ask you'll give them strength and you'll give them grace.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and give them the very desires of their heart.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus Christ's name. Father, bless each one as we bless you and we worship you and we thank you for saving us, Lord. And we thank you for your great salvation, so rich and so free. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Now part us for your blessing, that make of rich and out of no souls, till thou would come or call. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless each one. God bless you, Mother Carrie. God bless each one. Happy Christmas to everybody.
Amen.
Years ago when they all